I remember the very first time. Well, I remember when I became a Christian, and I remember it just like yesterday. I wonder if you remember when you became a Christian. Do you remember the feeling? Do you remember what it felt like when God's presence came into your life? Do you remember that? A sense that there is something that is greater. Let's say there is someone that is greater. For me, I had a dream, and many people here would probably share similar stories of, I had a dream and I just sensed, wow, not only is there a God, but I'm actually responsible to Him for how I live my life. And there are other times I've ever gone in my life when, particularly when I've been under great stress, I think about that phrase brokenness that seems to be coming through the service this morning. God seems to be weaving that in. I remember times of being utterly broken, and yet God's presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit, brings a peace which is almost unexplainable, really. Like the circumstances dictate that I should be stressed and miserable and not able to cope. But for whatever reason, a peace comes over me. I wonder if you've ever felt like that yourself. The Holy Spirit, described in the Scriptures as the third person of the Trinity. Last week we talked about how it's really difficult to define in human terms who He is. Yet we talked about how He is made of the same stuff as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Last week we had the picture weaved for us of Jesus' baptism, where you had the Father, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." You had the Spirit descending upon Him like a dove. You had this beautiful picture of community, really, and affirmation. And we talked about how Samson, a man that there's no way that any of us would choose him to be a great leader. He was so bereft of any wisdom, and yet God chose to empower him in His incredible grace. What does it feel like for you? What did it feel like? Or have you ever experienced the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, in your life in a way that is really unexplainable? I have many times experienced that peace and that sense that God is with me and God is leading me and guiding me and that I'm not alone. It's very hard to define. It's hard to put into human words and human language, isn't it? But you know that God is there. You know that He is leading you. And sometimes you look at other people and you know that they don't have the presence of God in their life and their heart. And you wonder, how do you deal? How do you cope? Because I have discovered what I'm here for. I have discovered my purpose. And my life is not perfect, and nor am I. And it certainly isn't joy all the time. But nonetheless, every moment, every part of my day, I do know that God is with me. And that's an incredible transformation and change for so many people, to actually know that the indescribable, awesome, infinite God is with me. It's such a positive and a wonderful thing for the Holy Spirit to be present in your heart and in your mind. He takes you to places that are miraculous. And there are moments in your life where you pray to God and you see Him do something which is incredible and inexplainable. You know, we are not here as Christians and as a church, we are not here to make excuses for God. Even before we start this morning, I just have a thought in my mind that I really want to hammer in. This is for someone this morning. You know, when you pray, I want to encourage you. Stay with me. I want to encourage you when you pray. Do not pray something like, "Lord, I want you to do this, work this, but only if it's your will. But only if it's your will." Because you know what you're doing when you do that? Do you know what you're actually doing? Let me tell you what I actually think. The reason I think we actually do that. Because James tells us to pray without doubt. Do not be double-minded. So why do we pray, and why do you pray, Lord, I pray this, but only if it's your will? I'll tell you why I think maybe we do that. We want to give God a way out. We actually want to say, I don't really know if I really believe in you, God, and I'm going to pray this. It's sort of a half thought. So if it doesn't happen, then obviously it wasn't your will. We're actually making excuses for God. That's ridiculous. You don't have to make excuses for God. If it's not his will, well, let me tell you something. If it's not the God of the universe's will, it's not going to happen. You don't need to pray that. You just need to pray, Lord, please do this. I really need you to do this. If you are really desperate for something to happen, if you are really desiring, you want someone to be healed, or you want a breakthrough, or you need a job, or you need some relationship healed, if you really need it, and it is deep within your gut, and it is pouring down within you as you see and read in the scriptures, are you going to pray, oh, but only if it should? No, you're not going to pray that. You're going to say, God, please. That's what you're going to pray. Don't feel for one moment that anyone here has to make excuses for God. You don't have to justify him or justify what he does. You just have to ask him, and ask without doubt. Lord, please, I'm desperate. Do this. There was a man that came to Jesus, and this is where we get the phrase born again. And this is a bit of an old-fashioned phrase, born again. And it's often used in disparaging terms. Oh, there are the born agains. It's a bit similar to there are the happy clappers. You know, that anyone heard the phrase happy clappers? Man, I want to be a happy clapper. I don't want to be a miserable unclapper. Why is that an insult? Why can't I be a happy clapper? Happy and clapping. They're both good things, aren't they? Oh, I want to be a miserable booer. The phrase born again is used in similar disparaging terms. They're born again. Why is it used in those ways? I think because when someone is born again, they're actually not miserable. They actually might become annoying. You know, the person that's positive and happy and uplifting, it's like, oh, can't you just be miserable like the rest of us? No, actually, my life has changed. I am now born again. I am a different person. What's wrong with that? We have the scriptures up here on the screen. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. Boo. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, and here is the phrase, unless you are born again. Man, you're not happy. Unless you are you cannot see the kingdom of God. What happened previous to this chapter, in chapter 2 of John, is that Jesus performed his first miracle. And who knows that the first miracle was the best miracle that he has ever performed? Some of you do, don't you? You're not very good church people, are you? What was the first miracle? What are we becoming? Yes, it was water into wine. I reckon that's the best miracle. And let me tell you why I think it's the best miracle, apart from the obvious. Because Nicodemus, the Pharisee, the religious teacher of the day, what was his version of what Christianity or what faith should be? What was it? It was miserable. It was rules. It was complying with what needed to be complied with. He was a teacher. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the scriptures back to front. Here comes Jesus. What's his very first miracle? To turn water into wine at a wedding party. If that doesn't shatter all his misconceptions about who the Messiah was, I don't know what else you could do to shatter all the misconceptions. So when we have this picture of Jesus doing this, it's amazing. The thing about Nicodemus, of course, is he sees the miracle and he cannot doubt the veracity. He cannot doubt the legitimacy of that miracle. It is true. It happened. Such that he has to go to Jesus. Now, where does he go to Jesus? Well, you know, when he goes to Jesus, he goes to Jesus after dark. Why does he do that? He's afraid, isn't he? He's like, I don't want anyone seeing me go to see Jesus. It's real. It's so obviously real what he's done. He's turned water into wine. I cannot deny this. And there's something that's quite strange about him. I need to find out more. He goes to him and he does be respectful. No one can doubt the miracle. And then he calls him rabbi, which means teacher. So he is being respectful. But at the same time, you know, if there's one group of people that Jesus does not let off the hook, it's the religious people. If there's one group of people that he is actually really quite blunt with, even at times sarcastic, yeah, it's true. It's the religious people. And so Nicodemus comes to him at night. I don't want anyone to see me. I don't want anyone to see what I'm doing. And Jesus gets straight to the point. You must be born again. You have spent your whole life listening and teaching and being taught and reading the scriptures and pulling them inside out. You know all the rules that there are to know. You know how you need to live your life. Well, you are so wrong about what you have previously believed. Your whole life and everything you've done, Matt, you need to go back and become a baby. You need to be born again. He confronts him. Whack! There's no gentleness about this. You must be born again. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The story goes on. What do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you cannot explain how people are born of the Spirit. How are these things possible? You know, we sang that song, the third song we sung this morning. It's your breath in my lungs. It's your breath. You know the story of Genesis where God makes Adam and Eve, and what does he do? He breathes life into them. And then you know the story about how they sin and how they mess up, and God says, well, from here on you will die. He's talking about a spiritual death. He's talking about the fact that they disobeyed God, they went against what he wanted, and they are going to die a spiritual death. From that time on, human beings have been very good at being able to reproduce. We've been very good at being able to reproduce each other after the physical way. But here, there is something that is quite unexplainable. Jesus actually says that. The Holy Spirit, you are going to be born again when the Holy Spirit comes into your life. When you become a Christian, when you say, you know what? I do believe in Jesus. Yes, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. What happens is that the Holy Spirit then comes into your very being. Have you thought about that lately? You know, the temple in the Old Testament, you had the outer court. And in the outer court, if you were a Gentile or a non-Jewish person, you could come into the outer court and you could worship God. Then you had the inner court. And that was for the Jewish people that were faithful. They would go in there, they would have sacrifices, and they would worship God. Then, of course, you had the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies is where the presence of God was manifest, where actually God's presence was. I look back at those old stories in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles, where King Solomon prays. You know the story? King Solomon prays, and the power and the presence of God came down so much that the priests could not worship because the temple of God was filled with the presence of God. I don't know about you, but I think about that, man, I want to be there. I want to see that. I want to experience that. But let me tell you something about that experience. It's nowhere near as good as what we have access to. Let me tell you why. Because that was happening over there. You could observe it. You could even be a part of it. But the Spirit of God wasn't actually inside of you. It was an incredible, amazing experience. But it was one time. It was geographical. It was in that place. The Holy of Holies. The story goes that the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was, the priest would go in there once a year to make a homage for the people's sins. So one person could go into the Holy of Holies. One person could experience that amazing presence of God and all the stories in the Old Testament of God's presence, speaking out of the bush, all that type of stuff. Well, we know, you know where I'm going, a lot of you. You know where I'm going. When Jesus was on the cross, what happened? What happened to the veil? It split down the middle, didn't it? It's symbolic. The access and now the pathway into the presence of God. God is now, if you are a believer and you have said yes to Jesus, listen, the presence of God, you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. His presence is now with you always, wherever you go. How much better, how wonderful is that? Thought about that? In terms of being born again, in terms of saying yes to Jesus, I know there are people here, even this morning, who haven't yet surrendered their life and their heart to Jesus. But I reckon there's been times when the Holy Spirit has been burning inside of you. And there's almost a physical manifestation. There certainly is an emotional reaction where you can sense, you may not even be able to explain it, but you can sense, can't you, that the Holy Spirit is actually tugging at you, saying, come on, say yes to Jesus. He's knocking on the door of your heart. If you believed in Jesus, you've experienced that. You have sensed the Holy Spirit coming into your life. And you've sensed actually that tugging and that pulling at your heart. You can't even explain it. Maybe your heart's beating a bit quicker. And maybe you're just feeling a bit, oh, I'm a bit nervous or something. Somewhere along the line, the Holy Spirit is actually making his presence known to you, particularly where there's an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. If God is pulling at the heartstrings of your heart, don't say no. Say yes. Saying yes is the best thing in the world. You're opening yourself up for the presence of God to make his presence known in your heart and your life. And it's a beautiful thing when he does. There are other times, and we've got another scripture here from Galatians. This is Paul speaking. O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you'd seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be after starting your new lives in the Spirit? Why are you now turning to become perfect by your own human effort? This was something that Nicodemus, that religious leader, needed to hear. You cannot, and people have tried, it's ridiculous, to invoke the presence of God. We've tried to manufacture the presence of God, even tried to buy the presence of God, and certainly tried to do good things in your life to make God's presence be manifest or known. You cannot do anything. You can only say yes. You can only accept. You can only receive. You can welcome the Holy Spirit into your life. But being a good person, obeying all the rules, this is what Nicodemus thought, that is not going to bring the Spirit of God into your life. Accepting. Here's the thing. I think it's sometimes a very hard decision to surrender yourself to God. I think sometimes it's very hard to say yes to Jesus. But once you've made that difficult decision, God does not make it difficult for you then to receive the Spirit. The difficult decision for you may be to confront yourself and say, you know what, God, I really do need you. I actually need you. That may be hard for you to say. But once you have surrendered to that, and once you have accepted that God wants to come into your life, he comes. He comes. And I can stand here and I can tell you that he comes. He makes his presence known to you. And it's beautiful. He is beautiful. He is wonderful. And you are changed forever. God is now with you. The Holy Spirit, the presence of God, is now residing inside of you. And it's wonderful. He is wonderful. Sometimes it's a hard decision, but God has actually made it easy. It's amazing grace. There is nothing more you need to do or can do but accept what Jesus has done for you, and his presence will come into your life. The story goes on in John, and we continue with that. Thanks, Joe. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Once you have accepted Jesus, you've felt that tug on your heart, and you've said yes to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit has now come into your life and now resides with you. Now, the Spirit of God lives within you, and he is your advocate. He will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, and he will lead you into all truth. The other day I was waking up, and my wife said to me a very interesting phrase. She said, "Throne before the phone." Has anyone heard that phrase before? Throne before the... I know what some people are thinking, and it's not that. Throne before the phone. Oh, wow, that's a great phrase. What it means, the throne of God, God's presence before the phone. So, of course, I picked up my phone and opened my Bible app. You know, there are some amazing things on your phone now. If you haven't ever downloaded an app called YouVersion, it's basically the scriptures and it's amazing. Whatever translation you like, it's all there. There's also some devotional things which you can hook into and look at. And it's just wonderful. It's totally free. And I often will find myself finding a reading plan. And it's a really, this is not a push or an ad. This is just a help. Okay? You get these reading plans, and if you miss a day, no judgment, you can skip. And you can push it forward for a day. But what it does is it encourages you to read your Bible every day. And as a pastor, I need that. But you know what happens when I open up that app on my phone and I read the scriptures? I sense something. I actually feel like a peace. And I feel like I'm being guided. And as I read that Bible in the morning every day, it's like God is actually guiding me and leading me in my life. It's amazing. It is wonderful. And I bet you a lot of us know exactly what I'm talking about. It's just an inexplainable peace, particularly when I'm stressed, particularly when I have hard decisions. I can pray without doubting that God is going to answer my prayer. Lord, I need help. The Holy Spirit is described, he has an advocate and he leads us into all truth. You actually have, as someone that said yes to Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit in you and he leads you into truth. You are not alone. Who knows what it's like to have confusing and difficult decisions to make? You know, where you just don't know, should I do this, should I do that? And you just need something extra. Who knows what it's like to be led by the Spirit, where it's like, I can't even explain why, but I feel this is what I should be doing next. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I reckon as you go on in your Christian life and as you mature and mature and mature, you learn to tune into the Holy Spirit's voice. You learn to articulate and understand what it is that he's saying to you. The more that you listen, the more you will hear and be guided. And it's more like an intuition, like a hunch, but it's so much more than that. It is God's presence within you, guiding you into all. What an amazing resource God has given you. The next scripture continues on. When the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. I love this next bit. I am sending you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Is there any troubling news in the world at the moment? Is there any reason to be afraid and to be worried about where our world is going and the world that we're leaving our children? Is there wars and rumors of wars? Is there stuff happening in other nations? Do we have people in leadership and power that we can't trust? Absolutely. But you know, as Christians, we are not to fear. Fear is not part of your vocabulary. You know, it's not. The God of the universe is with you. His presence is with you, and he guides you. He gives you peace, which cannot even be explained. And the world cannot give that peace. You know why sometimes we get stressed and worried about what's going on in the world? Because it seems like we can't fix the problems that the world has created. We can't fix these things. We can't change people. And we want to control, and we want to struggle, we want to make things right. I'm not saying we shouldn't do what we can. We absolutely should. But in the midst of it all, there is an unexplainable peace that comes when the Holy Spirit is in your life. He is with you. He is with me. He cares for me. The final aspect that I just want to highlight this morning is what he is there to do. And this comes from Colossians. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposites of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. When the Spirit of God comes into your heart and comes into your life, you know, when you have that sense of, I want to do what's right, I want to change, and I keep doing stuff, I keep messing up, and I keep making mistakes because I have the desire for this sort of thing. As I'm going along in my life, I'm discovering that God is actually challenging me in his time about becoming more like Jesus. He's actually changing some of my desires as I go along. We can sometimes feel frustrated, and maybe you felt this, frustrated and helpless that you just can't change yourself and make yourself a better person. Ever felt that? I just wish I could make better decisions. I just wish I stopped messing up. It's okay. Don't get weighed down in guilt. Don't let that become shame, become part of your life. But do understand that there is hope. The Holy Spirit is chipping away. Right now, he's working in your life and he's changing your desires and he's causing you to become more like Jesus every day. You're not there yet. Neither am I. But the confidence and the hope we have is actually he's changing you. He's causing you to become more like Jesus every day. There is hope. But it's not just for us. Next scripture. Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in each part of our lives. Isn't that beautiful? Let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of your life. What I'm trying to do this morning is just paint this picture for you. From beginning almost to the end. Being born again. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. If God is challenging you, if you are sensing something within you, God wants you to say yes to him and you haven't yet done that. Obey that voice. Go with that hunch. What's the worst that could happen? You could discover the true meaning for life. Feel that, sense that, rest in that voice and go with it. Say yes to Jesus. As you live your Christian life, allow that beautiful thought that is the Holy Spirit is with me every day. Every day as a believer, I can receive guidance. Every day as a believer, I can have peace in this situation, even though it's anything but peaceful outside. And finally, the Holy Spirit is in your life to change you and to make you more like Jesus and to make you a better person. He is awesome. A journey with God is a life that is not wasted. God is with you. Just as the band's coming up, let's just close our eyes for a moment. Just bow our heads. Just in this moment, I actually want to be really positive and just thankful this morning. I want us all to echo these words of thanks. I want you just to think about what you've heard about this morning. Maybe for some of us for the first time, for some of us for the 27th time. But Lord, as a group of people gathered here at Inglewood for this morning, we just want to express our gratefulness that you have not left us alone. That the Holy Spirit is with us each and every one. Lord, for that person this morning that hasn't yet said yes, will you continue to speak, Lord God? Continue to draw them to yourself that they may say yes to you. Lord, for those of us who are born again, we're so grateful for how far you have taken us. I think particularly this morning of some that maybe feel like they're not even there yet and get discouraged by their own behavior and decisions. Instead of that, we're going to say thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing us this far, for changing us this much. Lord, we want to be kind. I really feel, Lord, that's the word you're saying to us this morning. From a position where people are broken, you are calling us to be a kind people. Be kind to the brokenhearted. I know your presence, Lord God, is kind, merciful, cheerful, joyful, lovely. You do not want anyone here to be overburdened and feel judged and feel like there isn't a place for them, because actually there is. You have started something in our hearts, and it's a beautiful reaction that we see around us. I pray, Father, that you will cause us to be kind people as we sense the peace of the Holy Spirit. Thank you in Jesus' name. Can we stand to our feet? Let's worship God together this morning.